Praise the Lord. So I trust you have your Bibles and or your Bible app. And we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at 24 through 27. Verses 24 through 27 from Matthew chapter 7. Stand for the reading of the word. If you're at Matthew 7, just go ahead and shout amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 24. These are the words of Christ. Notice this, they're at least in my Bible, they're in red. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In other words, it was anchored. Everybody say anchored. It was anchored to a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the, what? Wow. Built his house upon the sand. Have you ever tried to anchor something to a bunch of sand? It says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the words of Christ, more specifically here that we have read this morning. Words of teaching, words of instruction. And I pray, God, that they will find lodging in our hearts. And then, Lord, that they will find themselves working out through our actions. Lord, make us wise men and women in our generation. In Jesus' name I pray. All God's people say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to title this, we'll just call it Storm Warning. If I could subtitle it, we would call it Building for the Storm. Building for the Storm. And as we begin, I want to invite you to stop and think about the house that you live in today. Okay? I'm talking about the place you call home. If I ask you to describe your house to me this morning, you would most likely tell me maybe about its location. You would tell me the color, the design, whether it's a ranch or maybe a prefab home, or maybe it's a old farmhouse. That's the design I'm talking about. Maybe you'd tell me the square footage. Maybe you would tell me about the size of the lot that it sits on, and you would give me number of bedrooms and baths. But one thing you probably wouldn't mention anything about would be the foundation, right? Yet, we know that it's the foundation of our house that really makes all the difference when the storm comes. Proverbs 24:3 states, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding is it established. And this is true not only of our house, it's also true of our lives. I've worked construction. I worked construction for years before I went into full-time ministry. And I know that when you build a home, there's a couple things you have to deal with. And that is, number one, erecting a sturdy structure. And secondly, expecting a stormy blast. Erecting and expecting. Because how many know, and you've probably found this out, that a storm can happen at any age or stage of our lives? How many's found that out? Raise your hand and wave it at me. All right, most of us, I'd say a majority of us. Oftentimes, believers fail in the time of a storm because they haven't taken enough time on their foundation. They find that they have anchored to something that, other than the stone, they've anchored maybe to sand, the shifting sand. And when the storm comes, we will stand or we will fall in whatever house we have built. Interesting, I was reading this week about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We all know they're in Italy. Scientists travel, they say, to the town of Pisa every year to measure the building's slow descent. They report that it's about 185-foot tower. It began to be built around 1173. And they say it moves or leans about 1/20th of an inch each year. And now they say it's over 17 feet out of plumb. More recent renovations may have helped that issue. But evidently and eventually they say that 844-year-old tower is most likely going to collapse. And I thought it interesting and quite significant that the word Pisa actually means marshy land, which gives some clue as to why the tower began to lean even before it was completed. They noticed that. Another issue, though, is the fact that its foundation, they say, is only 10 feet deep. If you're going to have a structure almost 180 feet tall, how many know common building sense should tell you need a little deeper foundation than 10 feet. And the reason so for the Leaning Tower is its foundation, faulty foundation. And so the passage we've read today is about two builders, everybody say two builders, who built two houses, two structures, on two different types of foundations with two different results. And in this tale of two builders, Christ teaches us that the foundation upon which we build the house of our lives is of utmost importance. And in our text, at first glance, it may seem that we are presented with two separate parables. But in actuality, it's a single parable in opposing parallelism. It is contrasting two opposing ideas concerning one event in an effort to paint us, I believe, ultimately, a spiritual picture. It shows not only the negative side, but also the positive as well. It shows them with their individual results, leaving the decision of which example we're going to follow into the hands of the hearer. And it's a decision that we cannot afford to take lightly, is it? And I hope we all can agree here this morning that our lives are too valuable to be left to hasty, rash, thoughtless decisions. And I also believe that we can agree that most often our lack of, we'll call it foresight, is what lands many of us in adverse predicaments. Had we not been so nearsighted, we would have better prepared ourselves for the future. How many has ever thought that? Many of us have no doubt lost a lot in our lives because we did not have a strong vision for what could happen in the future. And the truth is that the power of foresight is actualized when we put things in place that will at some time in the future point in time prove advantageous to us in the event of some adverse storm or circumstance. We may not see it in the natural right now, but we can build safeguards against the various future crises and circumstances that would come in and choke out the possibility of our success and our security and survival. So the wise thing to do is take the insight that we have been given here in this text by Christ and hopefully use it to shape and survive the future. Let me illustrate something, because I was thinking yesterday as I tried to develop this thought. Do you know what many Christians do when it starts raining and storming in their lives? They, at that moment, try to change foundations. How many know what I'm talking about? When the sky gets dark and the winds pick up and the rains begin to pour down, they pick up the phone and oftentimes they'll call the most spiritual people they know. And they say something to the effect of, I need help. Help me build a new foundation under my home or my family because things are beginning to fall apart. But let me give you a little news flash here this morning. Can I do that? You can't change foundations when you're in the middle of a storm. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you can't change foundations when you're in the middle of a storm. You have to lay your foundation before the storm comes, so that when the rain, the floods, and the winds come, then your house is secure. This is also true in the natural realm. It's hard to lay a foundation when it's raining. Workers stop pouring concrete when it begins to rain, right? The foundation has to be poured during the sunny days. So now it is a travesty of sorts for God to give us all of His Word, Christ is saying, and yet we do nothing about it. You know, the foolish man in our story would, after the fact, agree that this laziness that he had caused him to take shortcuts in the building program. He would testify that shortcuts, although they lighten the load and maybe shorten the journey, they'll hurt us in the long run. Amen. Food for thought. Achievement always involves sacrifice. Say it with me. Achievement always involves sacrifice. And in order to gain something, we will most likely have to give up something. But many a child of God in our generation, I feel, falls into the trap of the enemy that says that we can get something for nothing. But Christ warns against that faulty thinking here in our text. People build on the sands because it's easy. It requires less effort. Just a little change here and a little change there, and they can fool themselves and everyone around them into thinking that they're all right. And a life built on the sand really requires no long-term commitment, no sacrifice, no faith. People who build on the sand believe they can pray a prayer and sign a decision card and join the church and all will be well. Right? People who build on the sand can turn their spiritual life on and off like flipping a light switch. They can be in today and out tomorrow and in again the next day. Because sand builders ultimately have their faith anchored in themselves. How many know where I'm going? When God makes demands on sand builders and calls for surrender to His will, they oftentimes make excuses. Jesus encountered this very thing during His ministry. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 9, along verses 57 through 62, a young man came to Christ and he was all excited and looked like he was pretty passionate about being a disciple of Christ. And boy, didn't the Lord just kind of really give him a reality check when the Lord looked at him and said, "Look, son, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head." Oh, then on second thought, Lord, he rethinks his, that's a sand builder. Huh? People who build their lives on sand and self-righteousness and false hope, they won't survive the storm. They will not sacrifice because they only want to walk the easy path. Sand builders, I was thinking this week, oftentimes they like instant results, instant rewards, instant satisfaction, instant pleasure. They're shallow people who love the heights, but they hate the depth. They're hot and then they're cold. They're in and then they're out. They're up and then they're down. They're not building for the storm. And so when you look at the premise of this story, here Christ is talking about these two guys, and they seem to have the same goal in mind, and that was to build a house. And the one declares, Christ declares as wise, the other is declared as foolish, and both the wise and the foolish men have been given instruction in the word to build, so they are both familiar with that fact, and there's this job for them both to do. But notice the difference in their methods. If you look at the text, Christ says that the wise man is like the man who hears what Christ says, and then what's he do? He does what Christ says to do. So right there, Christ gives us the most important building code ever. Huh? Hearing Christ's words and doing Christ's words. That is the most important spiritual building code. That is what equals building on a rock. That means I am embracing heaven's building code. In 1992, Hurricane Andrew destroyed thousands of homes in southern Florida. Yet in one area where the wreckage looked like a war zone, they said one house remained standing, firmly anchored to its foundation. And a reporter asked that homeowner why the house was not blown away. And the homeowner replied, "I built this house myself, and I built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, he said, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to Florida code could withstand a hurricane, and it did. That was the good news. But that also meant there was a lot of bad news, which was there was a whole lot of other homes that evidently had not been built to code. Ah, help me preach for just a few moments. There was a whole lot of contractors that must have cut some corners. Hello. But notice the wise man builds his house on a rock. He does so, in a sense, to his own benefit, because soon there comes a stormy situation. The rain fell, the winds blew, and it even began to flood. The elements beat upon the house, but it did not fall because it was anchored to a rock. So when we are given this sharp contrast of a foolish builder who heard Christ's words and allowed them to simply go in one ear and out the other and to fall to the ground, this foolish man saw the sand and believed it to be a good enough place to build his home. The same stormy situation came to his destruction. The rain came and the winds blew and the elements beat upon the house. And the Bible says, great was the fall of it. The foolish man lost everything that he had. Now, what is the difference between the two? The wise man was willing to put forth the effort. He did not neglect his responsibility to labor and toil. It did not matter how attractive the easier way looked. He knew that the easy way was not always the right way. Amen, Pastor. For the rock builders, what God tells them to do in His Word, they do it. What God warns them not to do, they avoid it. They pay any price, they walk any path, and do anything the Lord tells them to do. The house built upon the rock is built by someone who realizes God deserves the best that we have. And they sacrifice, they work, they love God, they honor Him, and they obey Him. The rock builders' obedience to the Word of God proves that they truly love the Lord. As John chapter 14, verse 15 states, rock builders hear the Word of God and make it the foundation of their actions. And we all have this inbred natural tendency to gravitate toward man's way of building our lives instead of God's way of building our lives. The foolish man chooses unwisely to avoid the hard, intense labor. He chooses to remain short-sighted, and he only sees things in light of the present bliss. He chooses to ignore the fact that there was coming something that would no doubt try his efforts to see whether or not they were merited. And let me just leave you with this, and maybe if you can just take this home with you, it'll be good today. Let me just give you this sentence. Faith that can't be tested is faith that can't be trusted. Let me say that again. Faith that can't be tested is faith that can't be trusted. And Christ used this parable to express a spiritual truth through some natural examples. Because in Palestine, they say it was common knowledge that during the summer season, it being so hot and dry, that it would actually dry up several rivers in the area, leaving only an attractive bed of sand, basically. Okay? And so that unsuspecting individual, or this unwise, lazy builder, would look at this smooth bed of sand and say, this is a perfect spot to build my home. I don't have to do much excavation. I don't have to bring in the bulldozer and clear this lot. It's already basically cleared. The ground is level, basically. And so he begins to build only later to encounter the harsh conditions of the winter season in Palestine that was enhanced by a rainy month of September, and find that his sandy oasis was really a dry riverbed that soon became a roaring riverbed. Which would, of course, cost him everything that he had worked for and leave him empty without anything to show for his labor come those later months. But the wise builder, the more visually insightful man, would see that layout and immediately look for a more stable foundation to which build his home upon. And knowing that the house that he wants to build, he wants his house to last a lifetime, not just a couple months. Not just a season during the dry time. So he begins to look for a rock. Everybody say a rock. Even if he had to labor to dig down deep and excavate the soil so he could find a rock, he wants to anchor his home to a rock. And Christ says this is what occurs when wise men hear the words and do them. Because there's two commandments which come to be embodied in the word obedience. And that is hearing and doing. Say it with me, hearing and doing, because hearing is the first part of building on the rock, but it's only half. Heeding the sayings of Christ is essential to building on the rock as well. James, the Lord's brother, said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." So many people listen to sermon after sermon over the years and have no change in their lives because they fail to heed what they have heard. Christ said that, not me. Okay? In order to stand firm in the storm, we have to hear the word and then we have to do the word. And I believe that this is why it's important to be in the house of the Lord and get into the presence of the Word of God every week. For it is in the words of Christ that we receive our strength and safety so we can survive the storm. This is why when we come to the house of God, church, we should come with the intent that we're not here just to make friends. Preach. I said, we're not here just to make friends, although it's important to be friendly. Although that's well and good, my primary reason that I'm here is to get what I need so I can handle the storm that's on its way. So if I don't gossip with you, don't get offended. If I don't pass notes during the service and text and have my earbuds in and I take a nap, don't think I'm not being cool. I'm just trying to get what I need so that I can survive the next storm that comes my way. Because although things may be looking good today, if I know the devil like I know the devil, he's waiting to sneak up on me. And since I know that a storm is coming, I'm here today and I'll be here tonight and I'll be here Wednesday night to get what I need so I can withstand the storm. And you know what? We must say, I'm here maybe to encourage you, friend. I might even jump in and help you build your house a little while. Hello. But I'm not here just to help you build your house and leave my house undone. Huh? Because when the storm is over, even if you don't make it, I'm determined I have got to make it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? So since we have to build a house, the real issue is on what foundation are we going to build on? There are times when we're going to have to labor and toil. But in the end, we'll be glad that we pressed on with the sweat and the tears and we built upon the rock. So we may have to stop paying attention to some of the attractive people and their houses that have seemed to come up overnight. Hello. They come up, it seems like, without the slightest hint of resistance. Convenience can be as big of an enemy as it can be a friend. Huh? And usually convenience costs too much in the end. And so if we have to climb up the rough side of the mountain, just know that when the storm comes our way, we'll know that beyond a reasonable doubt, it was worth the climb. And in our life, there will be a time when we can look back and see that everything that we have been going through was only making us able to handle the storm. Oh, help me. So question, why did the wise builder take the time to anchor his home to the rock? Because he knew that in the future there was a great possibility that he would come up against some stuff. Hello. Have you ever come up against some stuff? Do you know what stuff I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. He was going to come up against some stuff that if he had not prepared himself for, it would overwhelm him. It would unsettle him. Some things that we've been through, unless a master architect reminds us to be sure and anchor to a rock, then we would not be able to stand. Maybe the wise builder had to work on us a little longer than he did some other people. I don't know. I struggled with that. I remember when I was in Bible college. Man, I had some guys in my class that had just got saved previously in revivals and they really were, to me, what I would call infants, babes in Christ. How many know what I'm talking about? And man, they would get their Bibles, they would open it, step behind the pulpit, and they would blow the place apart. Hello. And here I was, I've been in church, seemed like all my life, and hey, it's easy to start feeling like you're holier than others. Huh? And it seemed like that God had just, boom, I mean, they just was planted, they grew, they blossomed. But listen, folks, I had to realize that God sometimes, his timetable is a lot different than ours. Hello? He works on some people longer than others. And I think it's because he knows that he's going to have to invest more in some people because down the road is a storm coming. That if they're going to be able to survive the storm, they're going to have a lot of God invested in them. And when the storm comes, we will be glad that the master builder took a little longer on us because he was building us to handle the storm. The wise builder knows that time will test us, for it matters how we... Listen, friends, I was thinking just recently, you know, it matters not how we look today because time's going to tell. You know... If we're as strong as we really look, huh? There are a whole lot of people who look good, they act strong, but the truth is they're not built on a solid foundation, huh? They may stand for a while, but soon time is going to test them. This is why people that looked like a pillar of strength today may not even be around next month. Hello? Only things that are rooted in the rock are going to be able to stand when the storm comes.
May we take the time to build our lives to handle the storm. Then in spite of the issues that come our way, we know that we have enough time invested in our foundation that we don't have to worry about being swept away by every wind and wave of doctrine. Listen, then in spite of the... Listen, when you know that beyond a reasonable doubt, you have what you need inside of you, there's a certain confidence that comes to you that will calm your nerves, although the storm is brewing outside. That's why, as the child of God, you don't have to live in a state of panic and anxiety and hysterical life, because you know that you've prepared. Come what may, I've been built upon the rock. Raise your hands and praise Him. Somebody say, let the storm rage. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 10:25 that when the storm is past, the wicked are no more, but the righteous are established forever. I said the righteous are established forever. So we can stand and we can tell the storm that we refuse to go down. Why? Because our foundation is secure. Hey. This is Pentecostal church. No matter how the winds may blow, we're going to hold on to that foundation that we have taken time to anchor ourselves to. In the thick of a conflict, it doesn't change how we think or how we live. In the thick of a crisis, because we know that no matter what the enemy sends our way, we have been built to handle it. Somebody give Him praise. That's why we are told, be steadfast, unmovable. Huh? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of our God. Huh? It's a good feeling to know that when the storm comes, you built your life for that storm. It's a good feeling to know that we built our lives to handle whatever life or the devil can throw at us. It's a good feeling to be able to make up our mind right now and determine, I will not be bound by fear another day. It's good to be able to say, I'm not going to panic, but instead I'm going to rise up and I will display the strength that God has allowed me to build with. I'm not going to be arrogant and I'm not going to be no sissy, but I'm going to stand up and I'll face this storm like a man. Knowing that the devil tried this before, but the last storm came and gone. And I still have a praise on my lips. It's a praise that the devil couldn't shake. Why? Because it's been anchored to a rock. I said it's a good feeling to know that I have a joy that the devil couldn't take, because my joy is anchored to a rock. It's a good thing to feel peace in my heart that the devil couldn't defeat, because it's anchored to a rock. I need somebody to give me a little water, please. One of my ushers, will you give me a little water? I'm almost done. Listen, When you're built on the rock, hell cannot move you. Huh? When you're built on a rock, water cannot drown you. Oh, hallelujah. When you are built upon a rock, the fire cannot consume you. Huh? Why? Because you were built to be stormproof. You were built to be waterproof. You were built to be fireproof. Oh, hallelujah. So whether the storm is over or not, if you know you were built to withstand it, go ahead and stand tall and give God the glory. I said, go ahead and stand tall and give God the glory. Oh, that's it. Go ahead. Give him some glory. Yes, the road gets rough. The going gets tough. The hills get hard to climb. Thank you. But I started out a long time ago, and there is no doubt in my mind that I have decided to make Christ my choice rock to build upon. Let me encourage your heart. Though the storms keep on raging, and sometimes it's hard to tell night from day, still that hope that lies within us is reassuring us if we keep our eyes. Oh, I said if we keep our eyes on that distant shore, he will lead us safely home. I said he will lead us safely home. Sister Jones, come to the piano. I'm not saying just because you got a little excited today in church that that means the storm is over. The truth is it's probably going to get more intense when you walk out these doors. But here's what you got to determine. If the storm does not cease, if the devil keeps trying to uproot me, if he keeps trying to overturn me, if he keeps trying to ruin me, if he keeps trying to destroy me, and if the winds keep blowing in my life, here's one thing I know. My anchor holds. Somebody praise him. I said, my anchor holds. Tell the devil that. Somebody, would you right where you're standing? Tell the devil, my anchor holds. Why? Because it's anchored to the rock of all ages. The same rock that Paul was anchored to, I'm anchored to. The same rock that Luther was anchored to, I'm anchored to. The same rock that Moody, Wesley, and Whitfield was anchored to, I am anchored to. Woo. So I've been through the storm and the rain, the heartache, the pain, the ups and the downs. But I'm here to say, hallelujah, we've made it. We're still here. After all the pain, after all the lies, after going through all the depression. Huh? Oh, help me now. Huh? I said, we're still here. The foolish one, the foolish neighbor, the foolish builder is gone. Happened to him. Grieves us that he's gone. We don't rejoice because he's gone, no. But we do rejoice because it shows the difference in our foundations. Oh, hallelujah. And so here, If you're founded upon the rock, you can be determined, I will not fall. Because my foundation has been His Word. Woo! And I've got too much Word in me for this storm to overthrow me. I said, I've got too much Word in me to allow the enemy to wipe me out. I said, I've got too much Word in me to allow the devil to destroy me. With all the Word that God has given, I don't depend on the arm of flesh to get it done. I'm depending on the Word of my God. I'm not looking to my friends, although they play an important part in my life. I'm not looking to my family, although they play an important part in my life. I'm not looking to my bank account, although it helps me sing a little louder if I got a few thousand in the bank. But here's the truth. I am not feasting on looking to other things. I can stand because the Bible says in Jude, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Why? Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Oh, you know what? We may have to sing that as we close. Oh my goodness, I'm into overtime. Turn to page 116 in your hymn book and go ahead and join us on your feet. Oh, let me tell you something. Everybody in this house today, you are building a spiritual house. Huh? Every day you attach boards, you drive nails, you add on rooms, you're trying to improve your house. Regardless of what you do to the house you are building, what matters the most is the foundation. Be sure you're building on Christ and the gospel. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust. Well, that's it. But wholly lean. Oh, let it sing, church. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds. Think about it. Oh, on Christ the solid. Let it ring, church. If you've realized today that you've been building on the wrong foundation, I want to give you words of hope today. And that is, you can change foundations today. Huh? I said, you can change foundations. You can come to Christ, the solid rock. He will save you, and He will get you started building on the right foundation. Please, please, don't ignore what we say today. There's a storm coming, and your house is right in its path. I'm talking about your spiritual house now. And when that storm comes, the only house that is going to stand is the house that's been built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. As we sing it again, would you come? Would you come? Step out of your seat. I'd like for you to just take a little evaluation today. Why don't you do a house inspection over the next few moments? And here's where I want you to inspect. Before you look at the windows and the doors, I want you to go for the foundation and inspect your foundation and be sure you're built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And all other ground
is sinking sand. To build upon Christ, you must admit you need Him. You must believe that He is the Son of God, that He died and that He rose again. And then you've got to convert your trust from being in yourself.